You're listening to Back to the Light with J.D. Rieger. Gonerfest 18 Preview. Hey, everybody. Welcome to yet another episode of Back to the Light. I am J.D. Rieger, and I'm happy to be here this week, happy to be speaking with you. I had a great time over the weekend working on the new Subteens record, which is really starting to take shape, and I'm looking forward to heading back to Memphis this weekend for Gonerfest 18, which is not at all coincidentally the subject of this week's show. My guest is the co-owner of Goner Records in Memphis and the co-founder of Gonerfest, the one and only Eric Friedel, a.k.a. Eric Oblivion. Before we get to the interview, I want to mention that we actually just recorded this thing last week, about 10 days before the official start of Gonerfest. But because of the pandemic, a few things have changed, both in terms of the schedule and artists appearing. So for the most current information available about Gonerfest 18, which takes place September 23rd through 26th in Memphis, please check out gonerfest.com. Now here's my conversation with Eric Friedel. Eric, thanks for joining me on the show again.
Yeah, good to see you, JD.
Welcome to the Three Timers Club.
Whoa, that sounds exclusive.
Last time we talked for the podcast, we were previewing last year's Gonerfest, which was pretty much entirely virtual. I know I enjoyed it from my couch. How do you guys think it went?
It was amazing, actually. Yeah, we had no idea how it was going to go. We had done a few virtual festivals that we had bands in, kind of helped organize with other people. But we had that experience before we did it. So that helped us with our festival. But it was really fun. People were really up for hanging out online together. And we really did not expect it to be as much fun as it was.
Are there elements that are carrying over from things you did last year into this year?
Yeah, because we're still not where everybody can come or wants to come to a physical festival. We're doing basically two festivals at the same time. We're doing the in-person festival and an online festival, streaming the whole time. But instead of just sort of setting up a camera or setting up three cameras and letting it go for 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day, we're trying to incorporate a little bit more of the chat and fun stuff in between bands and that kind of thing. So we're trying to take what we learned last time and incorporate that without killing ourselves too much.
Will there be some non-musical elements on the show this year, like films or discussions, things like that?
You know, that was part of the plan going into it, but as things kind of ratcheted down, we've basically scaled back our ideas to a workable, basically presenting the fest and presenting. There are going to be some things that are online clips and things that will people will see that people at the festival won't see, kind of to bridge the space between bands and everything. But we've scaled it way back from the kind of extracurricular stuff that we did for the online thing last year. Love to incorporate that, but we just did not have time.
Well, let's talk about this year's show. I guess first and foremost, tell me about the considerations and planning that went into putting together this lineup.
Well, we realized that this is a weird festival because it's the first all-American festival. We've always had bands from all over the place, that, especially Australia, New Zealand, Canada, you know, all over the place, coming and wanting to come to Memphis. And because of the border and travel, this is the only time we've had all American bands. And then we started out really thinking it would be Memphis bands and people within a few hours drive, because that would be just easier for people to do and that kind of thing. But it quickly kind of evolved into people asking, you know, hey, we're in Boston, we want to come. We're in Seattle, we want to come. We're in San Francisco, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so it expanded beyond what we expected. But there are a lot. We have Nashville bands, New Orleans bands, Austin bands. I can't, are the majority, if there's a place that has more than, you know, a couple bands, those are the places that are kind of featured more at this festival. So it's a little bit different, but it's fun, you know. And we kind of went looking and saw who was out there, saw who was interested. There were bands that haven't practiced and didn't think they could do the festival. There were bands that weren't comfortable playing, and there were fans that said, sure, we, you know, itching to get out and do something.
I have to admit that I'm a little bummed to not see the New Zealand, you know, bands this year, because they were my favorite part last year, but I obviously understand why it works out that way. But still, all things considered, you have put together an amazing lineup.
It really did turn out really well. And on the New Zealand thing, we were trying to have a New Zealand stage on the Friday night after the fest ended. I think it would be like 5 PM on a Saturday. And we were going to try to do what we did last time and just stream a couple hours from New Zealand. And then they went into lockdown again, so they couldn't guarantee that they would be able to do the thing. So we're hoping to do that in October. We're hoping to do a Goner TV Presents show from Auckland. That's in the works, but it wasn't part of, it couldn't be part of Goner Fest this time, even though we had everything in motion and we were trying to make it happen. The Spits, Raining Sound, Negative Approach, Quintron. I mean, the big bands were there, the more interesting, smaller bands that, you know, no one's seen, that, you know, haven't really toured. Sweeping Promises, I think, as far as I could tell, have done one show. It's one of those things where we were like, I wonder what they're like live. Let's go look on YouTube. There is nothing on YouTube. That doesn't even happen. I mean, there's bands on my block that, you know, that are full of 13-year-olds that you can go watch them on YouTube. Not a band that sold probably almost 10,000 records for a ton of show. So it's cool. It's there's a lot of, you know, that's how Goner Fest is. You know, it's like, people come for different reasons. People come for different bands, and, you know, you don't have to see every band. And we tried to make it, we've always tried to make it so that you could see every band if you wanted to. We didn't try to schedule things opposite each other, at different stages and that kind of thing. And we tried to build a break in the middle for dinner, but because there's a curfew and everything, everything's outside, this festival goes straight from noon to midnight. And I mean, you could eat at Rail Garden if you want to, but if you want to go sneak out and get some barbecue, you're going to miss something. And that's fine. You know, it's a little bit different way of doing things than we have in the past as well.
Yeah. Tell me about working with the two new venues this year, both Rail Garden and Memphis Made.
Well, it's actually only at Rail Garden. We've been doing things at Memphis Made. And it's been, we used to do Friday afternoon at the Buccaneer, and then that burned down. And so we moved that to Memphis Made, who's been a big supporter of the festival, has made a beer for us for the last, I don't know, 5 years, sometimes more than one beer with branded, you know, cool Goner Fest labels that you could go buy in the liquor store and everything, which is really cool. I mean, I just love stuff with our brand on it. You know, I just love making cool stuff. And I never thought that you would have, we would have our own beer. To me, that was just so cool. And so we were doing things that Memphis made, but they've, their space just isn't big enough for the amount of people that were coming. We tried to break it off and have a stage over there for this one, but it turned out that Rail Garden was it. So we're doing opening and closing ceremonies that we usually do at the gazebo. It's all at Rail Garden. We had plans to go inside for part of the stuff, but we realized, you know, I'm not going to ask people to go inside to play, you know. So everything is outside. Everything is at Rail Garden. And they've been amazingly accommodating. When we said we're going to be there for 12 hours for three straight days or whatever it is, you know, they didn't blink. They didn't go, our people are going to kill you by the end of the day, which they might, but they at least didn't have complaints on the front end. Skinny and Benny have always come through for us at the High Tone and Murphy's. It wasn't anything to do with the venues that we were using. It was just a bigger venue that we could be outside at for four straight days.
I know it's hard to foresee, but do you imagine the festival returning to Murphy's in the High Tone, or do you think maybe some crazy Frankenstein hybrid thing is possible?
I don't know. I think part of the fun of the festival was going all over Memphis and having people get to see different parts of Memphis and hang out in different places. And this is a little bit less fun because you're in one place the whole time. In that respect, I think Rail Garden is big and there's enough different areas to kind of get away from the festival and hang out with your buddies or however it's going to work. But I hope we can do that. I don't know down the line. We'll see how this goes and, you know, figure it out from there.
Let's talk about the two MCs you're bringing in because they're fairly big names. Henry Rollins and Greg Turner from the Angry Samoans. How did you get those guys involved?
Well, funny thing about Greg Turner is Greg's not going to make it.
Oh, man. The poster I looked at before we chatted lied to me twice now.
Yeah. Well, it is a matter of putting things in production and then not being able to. Well, I guess we could change a digital poster. But yeah, Greg can't do it. Greg is I think he had kidney stones or something. Anyway, his doctor said that it was not a good idea to be traveling. He has a teenager that can't be vaccinated in New Mexico where he is. So it was a big back and forth trying to figure out if they were going to come in the first place, and we figured it out, and then some other medical stuff came up. So he's not going to make it. I just was sending messages with Henry. As far as we know, he's still coming, but you know, this is the time when people are really reevaluating, you know, everything. Both those guys have been great. Henry has been super easy. Last year, the same thing. He had agreed to do it if his schedule allowed, and then we couldn't do a actual festival. And this time he said, you know, I'm in. If I can be there, I'm in. And so as of now, he is emceeing on the Friday night with the Raining Sound as the headliners. He's been great, you know, just super straightforward, no bullshit. And, you know, I think he's just a fan of this stuff, wants to, you know, kind of be a part of it, just like everybody else that's going to be here. And, you know, it's been super easy. We'll see how it actually winds up happening. You know, we're double checking with the bands. We're double checking with people that are coming. We've had some other DJs and MCs that just, for whatever reason, can't travel, have just decided that even if they feel like the festival wouldn't be a bad idea, getting here is another thing, you know, sitting on a plane or going to gas stations in Arkadelphia or whatever, you know. So things are in flux. It's all exciting. It is going to happen.
Time out. Before we get back to Eric Friedel and Gonerfest, I want to remind you that info about the Gonerfest 18 schedule can be found at gonerfest.com. Also, backtothelight.net has tons of great music and podcasts for you to check out. And if you'd like to hear this show without commercials, visit my Patreon page. That's patreon.com/JDRieger. And now, the ad. How hard has it been, given the fluidity of the situation and how things have changed so much since from when, I guess, you started planning this festival and things started taking, you know, things got better and now things are worse again? How crazy has the process been? I'm sorry if that's a ridiculous question.
No, it's crazy. It's really been nerve-wracking to try to figure all this stuff out. And I think the festival is going to be really hard because we have a lot more stuff to kind of keep track of and worry about. And at the same time, the response has been really, really positive. People have really, they really want to be here. And so it's worth it once you get past, you know, just thinking all just going to the worst possible scenario all the time and trying to figure out a way to make it work. But we're not experts in this stuff. We're looking, you know, at other festivals. We're looking at what people are doing, what the health guidelines are, what it seems like I would be comfortable with, you know, doing. And that, you know, we were at one point going to have people inside and just kind of step back and went, no, we can't do that. You know, and it's just, everything has come together. I don't want to be responsible, for putting people in an unsafe situation. And I think there's an aspect of this, just the nature of the beast, and canceling it would be an option. But I think that it's also something that is a good thing, and that we can do it in a way that's safe. So that's constantly been on our minds, and it has been, it's always a grind, like right now, trying to get everything together and put everything in place, and doing the virtual festival, and having, this is our biggest festival we've ever done. So it's just a lot of logistics that we're used to handling ourselves that are at the very limit of what we can handle right now.
And you mentioned safety protocols earlier. You guys are also requiring proof of vaccination, correct?
Yeah, we are. We're doing this, and you know, for all the media about people protesting, not wanting to wear masks and wanting to express their freedom to infect whoever they want, we have had totally the opposite response from the people that were considering coming to our festival. They said they weren't coming unless everyone was vaccinated. They weren't coming unless everyone had to wear masks. It is a different crowd than the, you know, spring break Florida beach goers that, you know, don't want any restrictions. They're definitely more aware of this stuff, more cautious. They want to have fun. Everybody wants to, you know, have fun and get out and drink and do all this stuff, but they want to do it in a way that is as safe as we can do it right now. And, you know, if we're around 100% vaccinated people, that's as good as we can do, you know, within Rail Garden. I think it doesn't preclude COVID being there, but we're at least doing everything we can to be safe. So the response has been very good about with that. And, you know, we have people coming from Canada, which if you come to America from Canada right now, you have to go through a quarantine and isolation for like 2 weeks or something. And they're willing to do that. And that's just kind of bananas, but they're coming.
Well, I think that just speaks to the passion of both the participants and the people who attend GonerFest, which is truly unlike the usual Memphis show experience, at least in my memory.
Yeah, it is. We have, you know, regulars that this is what they do, you know, in September. They come out and they go to GonerFest and see the people that they see every September, see the bands, you know, interesting bands, some of the same bands. And, you know, it really blows my mind. And especially this year, I don't know if it's because other festivals aren't happening, but it has been sort of like everybody wants to come. Everybody that has come, it's usually like, oh, we'll come once every 3 years. This is like everybody is coming, and it's going to be like a kind of like a reunion, kind of like a, you know, GonerFest on steroids type of thing, I think. But yeah, it blows me away that people would, you know, spend their vacation in Memphis, going to these shows, hanging out at, you know, Murphy's and the High Tone and, you know, this year Rail Garden. It's totally amazing.
As far as attending the festival is concerned, do I assume correctly that in-person tickets are sold out?
In-person, we capped the amount of in-person tickets, but we have had people that have decided not to come, and we've just put those back up for sale. So there is sort of a rotating little bubble of tickets that are available. Right now we have tickets available. I'm assuming that, you know, in the next week, those will sell out again. We are doing nightly tickets. We're making some available. We still don't know really what Rail Garden is going to look like with this amount of people in it. We're at 55% capacity if everybody shows up at the same time, which usually doesn't really happen unless the Mummies are playing or something. So we have space, but we're not trying to pack the place out.
And of course, tickets are available for the virtual. They get that at GonerRecords.com.
Yeah, we've got GonerRecords.com, GonerFest.com will get you there. And yeah, the virtual fest is $20 for, you know, 32 bands streaming, Raining Sound, Spitz, Negative Approach, Quintron, all the bands, and plus all the extra stuff that we come up with. It's going to be fun. The streaming thing is going to be kind of ridiculous and goofy, and there'll be, you know, the kind of Zoom hangout stuff that we've got that we did last year actually turned out pretty fun, even though you can't talk over the festival or it just doesn't work. So we're still working out how to actually do chat rooms that work while music is going, but it's fun. The streaming fest is a good time, and I think it's going to be a blast for people online.
Well, I certainly enjoyed it last year from my couch, but I'm definitely looking forward to seeing the festival in person this year and, you know, maybe even helping out a little bit.
Yeah, love to have you. Glad you're going to be there. It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to getting all this stuff done and so that we could kind of have a good time.
Awesome. Well, Eric, thank you so much for joining me on the show. I look forward to seeing you as the show airs this week.
Awesome. Well, thanks, JD. Appreciate it. Three-timer.
Whoop, whoop. The next thing I'm going to do is play you a mini set of tunes by bands appearing at GonerFest 18. In this block, you'll hear music from the Archaeas, Big Clown, Optic Sync, the Expats, and we'll kick things off with Raining Sound. We'll be right back.
Oh,
All right, you've just heard In Order, Make It Up by Raining Sound, Reality Commander by The Archaeas, Holes by Big Clown, Personified by Optic Sync, and Coolsville, USA by The Expats. And that's the show. Thank you to Eric Friedel and Goner Records. Thank you to Arthur with two H's for the opening theme. Thank you to Joey Pegram for the closing theme. Thank you for listening. For music, news, and episode archives, visit backtothelight.net. And until next time, take care, y'all. Part of the Back to the Light podcast network at backtothelight.net.